Hunter Valley today, thanks to Elders Insurance Hunter Valley. It's local insurance for everyone. Joining me in the studio on the eve of the by-elections, Deputy Premier John Barilaro. John, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. It's Friday and 24 hours before it's all over. And I'm feeling calm. I'm just going to enjoy these last couple of days here in the Hunter and go back to my favourite pie shop and grab a custard tart and a pie.
Now, I've been asked the question a lot about, you know, how you think tomorrow's going to go and whether or not Dave is going to get across the line. Obviously, you know, the Premier said that it's going to be a miracle if it does happen, given the circumstances that we're in a by-election and just previous, you know, by-elections, just basing it on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've said it before, you know, we shouldn't be in the race, but we are. You know, we've run by-elections before. We've been in general elections. We know how to campaign. We do campaign. We get our message out. This was, in my mind, you know, that our story was a good story here in relation to what we've done, what we've achieved, what we've got on the table, and we're only 18 months out from a general election. And my message has always been, you know, don't change the jockey mid-race. You get a chance to punish us at the next election if we don't deliver on everything that we said we would do in this term. We're only halfway through the term, so give us a chance to deliver what we promised in 2019. Now we'll double down with the extra promises that we've made during the campaign. And I'm confident. All the signs point that it'll be tight, but I feel we'll get there. And hopefully if the people and the voters of the Upper Hunter give us the chance, I'll prove that they've made the right decision.
Yeah, there's a story in the Newcastle Herald this morning specifically about Shooters, Fishers and Farmers and Sue Gilroy and the possibility that they are feeling a little bit confident that we could see a similar situation as we saw in Orange. Do you think, you know, there is a chance of that happening here?
And it's possible. Yeah. It's a big field, 13 candidates. Preference flows flowing everywhere. I mean, everyone's preferencing everyone except for the Nats. You know, we're telling people you don't have to preference. It's one of those vote one campaigns in the state election. You can put a one and that is it. So we've been saying that to people. You know, there's deals now we're starting to see between the Shooters and One Nation and Shooters and Labor and the Independents. And so, you know, you got to be careful who you're actually supporting. And, you know, but the Shooters, One Nation, Labor, the Nats as key parties, they're all in it with a real shot. And then maybe there's a couple of surprise with some of the Independents. So it is an open field, but, you know, we don't go in blind. We've done some polling. We've done some data work with surveys. We really engage with the community. We're confident, but, look, anything can happen. You know, 40%, we'll be lucky if we get 20% of the vote before tomorrow, which is pre-poll. So there are a lot of voters tomorrow that are still probably making up their mind.
Yeah, exactly. We've got every politician, it feels like, under the sun in the region at the moment, so far as you guys are concerned. Matt Canavan, Barnaby Joyce, the Premier, sounds like she'll be making an appearance tomorrow as well, has already in the campaign. And, you know, there's been so much focus on the Upper Hunter, which is great. You know, platforms like Q&A, for example, last night, you know, the Hunter Valley made up a big component of that last night, talking about particularly the gas-fired power plant in Kurri. Barnaby Joyce said last night he doesn't support it. Matt Canavan told us this morning something similar, if they'd rather a coal-fired power station. What do you think about that?
No one's going to build a coal-fired power station. It's just that simple. You know, it's just not going to happen. The market's not responding. There are no investors out there. Snowy Hydro already has a mix of energy sources. Of course, Hydro up in my neck of the woods, but they've already got investments in gas. So this is a natural fit for them to put a gas-fired power station. And what we've got to stop is the debate around coal versus gas versus renewables. We need to just assure that when Liddell switches off in 2023, we actually have something else in its place. And in this case, Kurri will produce and become the backload that we need to give us confidence that the lights aren't going to go out while we do transition to more renewables. And that's the reality. That is the absolute reality. And I know my federal colleagues will keep talking about coal-fired generators. I know the One Nation will keep talking about it. But if the market was there, if the shareholders and the banks wanted to do it and the finance wanted to do it and the investment idea made sense, the market would have built one, but they're not.
That's all right. We just need to get it done. I was saying to someone this morning, we're talking about it and talking about it and tossing around this idea and that idea. But as we're doing that, time's moving on. Liddell's shutting in, you know, 2 years' time. That's getting closer and closer. We're running out of time to fill the gap.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the fear isn't just the jobs that are connected to a power generator or a power station. It's the jobs that you create during the building phase. That's all. They're all important. But the real threat here is if the lights go off, If we don't have the power that we need, prices will go up and there will be power shortages. They'll actually impact other industries. You've got industries like Tomago that cannot switch off their plants. So the reality here is we've got to get more energy into the market. That's a mix of current existing coal-fired power stations, new gas-fired power stations that are coming online, of course, renewables. That's the mix. We've always argued that, and when should be technology neutral, let the market respond. And I'm really happy they've made this decision. If you add in Tallawarra B, that we made that decision a few weeks ago down in the Illawarra. All of a sudden, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable about 2023 when the deal does shut down, that we're not going to, the lights won't go out.
Mm. Federal politics has been getting very involved in the state politics side of things, this particular by-election. My brain's disappeared and gone somewhere else at the moment. Catching up with Deputy Premier John Barilaro this morning. A couple of things non-by-election that do affect the Upper Hunter here. The mouse plague, let's start with that. Scone and Tamworth are going to be two of the places where this free grain treatment is plants are going to be, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we first announced the grain treatment, we said it'll be 8 or 10 sites across the state. Adam Marshall, the minister, has now said it'll be about 20, no less than 20. And now that gives us more of an opportunity to go to the areas that maybe just starting to feel the start of the invasion, I call it, of mice. So places, of course, you know, Tamworth and all those areas. But even Merriwa will be one of those areas that'll also have an opportunity, and Moree. And, you know, this is tough. I mean, everyone's seen the images, and, you know, farmers can deal with this stuff normally, and they have been for months, and they've been dealing as they normally would in their business practice. But this has got to a point that it's a plague status where it's just got too hard, and so no longer just impacting farmers. This is businesses, families, the home, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. The rebates for individuals, you know, family homes, $500 to go out and buy traps or poisons. The same with businesses, it's $1,000. And then, of course, $50 million payments going into treating the grain or the bait with some of the most poisonous poisons that we've got in it available to us. So we've got to do it. Otherwise, next spring, things could be even worse.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the vaccine rollout as well, I want to touch on that. Muswellbrook Hospital is going to be one of the Pfizer clinics to be rolled out in June.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we announced initially that, you know, we'll build a big super, I call it the super centre, the super hub in Sydney, which is now doing about 5,000 a day, that there was always going to be a footprint in regional rural New South Wales. Yes, Muswellbrook's one, but they're across the board. I think there's about 17 at the moment. That'll keep growing. And even the health Minister Brad Hazzard only a couple of days ago did say that he's looking at building another big super jab centre, if you want to call it that, in Newcastle. And he asked landlords in Newcastle if they've got any property available, about 2,000 square metres, if they want to rent it to the New South Wales government, we'll build another big super hub there. So we want to get this roll out going. Yesterday we celebrated about 1 million jabs for New South Wales, which is good. And when you think about 5 million people we've got to get to, if we get to that quicker, the sooner we get there, the better. That means we get back to a level of normal.
Do you think the people in regional New South Wales are confident in the vaccine rollout? I mean, we talk a lot about it with regards to the cities and Sydney and all that sort of thing, but do you think in regional New South Wales, people are confident in the vaccine and happy to go and get it?
I think so, because in all the conversation I have with people, there's no doubt that there's an appetite that they're not as concerned about the side effects, and we've seen that, and they're real, but in the scheme of vaccines, they're all within the margin of error. And in one way, I think people are prepared to get it. Where I think we fail a little bit is we haven't had COVID in the regions for almost a year in most places, or we've never had it. I think there's a little bit of complacency that's coming out there. And so a lot of people say, well, why get the vaccine if there is maybe a possibility of a side effect? I'll wait because there is no COVID in the community. And in one way, we're sort of paying the price for our own success on managing COVID. But my message to everybody is we want to get back to a level of normal in this nation. We want international borders to open. We don't ever want to see restrictions or lockdowns ever happen again, even at a domestic level between states. Go out and get vaccinated. There's plenty of supply at the moment. You're not going to have to line up for long, and the eligibility groups are getting bigger and broader. So I've registered. I'm in the 40 to 49 bracket now, and I've registered and waiting for my time and my turn, I'll be getting vaccinated. That's how confident I am, and we should all get the jab.
Yeah, exactly. Totally agree. Well, Deputy Premier, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jess. And maybe you won't see as much of us, but I'll make sure we'll keep in touch with you. Thank you for allowing us to share what we're doing with your listeners.
At least you're one of the regulars in the region.
Thank you, Jess. Play more.